Father, we thank you today for the rain that you send that waters the earth and brings forth life. We thank you for the rain of your Holy Spirit that you rain down on us and that again produces life unto you. We pray this morning, Lord, that you will make us desirous of that rain and that we will want it in our own lives and that we will want it in the churches of our land and wherever you are worshiped and wherever your word is proclaimed. Send the rains that there may be abundance. These things we ask in the name of Christ our Lord and our Savior. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I didn't know when I planned this message that we were going to have rain 4 days out of seven this week. So some of you may be saying, what are you doing praying for rain? But I couldn't help but think as I prepared for this, that little old saying, and some of you can probably complete it. April showers. Yes. And that's true spiritually as well. And so we want to see a lot of life, and we want to see a lot of abundance. And without the rains, it will not happen. When God said, I'm going to give you a land, this is what he says to them, and I have it at the top of the note sheet today. But the land he's talking about, they've left Egypt now. But the land you, and that in Egypt they irrigate. That is something man does. In Egypt they have the River Nile, and everything is by irrigation, and that's all they had ever known. And bear in mind, God had promised this land to Abraham 400 years before, but these people had never seen it. They had only heard about it. And now they're going to go there. And the Lord says to them through Moses, but the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from heaven. That is you and me, my friend. It is a land that the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it, from the beginning of the year to its end. Isn't that a remarkable statement? So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain new wine and new oil. And so the Lord says this land doesn't depend on irrigation. This land depends on the rain I send. And if you are faithful to obey me and love me and follow me, then I will make sure that you get all the rain you need when you are supposed to have it. And the result of that will be that you will always be in abundance. Would you like to have that kind of life? And so this is what the Lord is telling us. And I heard a song, and it brought my mind to this topic. So we're just going to do just a little brief run through this morning. If you're one of those who likes to fill in the blanks and take the notes home, now would be the time to do it. We're just going to make a few general observations about rain. Number one, rain is indispensable. It is something that is absolutely necessary. There are some things that we can go on and make do without. But in the larger picture, rain is not one of those things. I know we a lot of times don't like it when it rains. And we kind of think, what was that song? Rainy days and Mondays get me down. And somebody had a quote years ago, into each life, some rain must fall, and that's viewed as a negative thing. And we think of rain as those times of trial and those times. But today I want us to look at it more from the standpoint of God, that when he sends rain, this kind of rain, it's a good thing. But it's indispensable. We have got to have it. Because, A, all life is dependent on it. Think about it, if it never rained. We have some deserts, but what if it never rained anywhere? Then the whole world would be one big desert, and that would definitely pose a problem. So all life depends on it. The vegetation depends on it. And we subsist off of vegetation. Some of you may say, well, I don't subsist off of vegetation. I subsist off of beef and pork. Well, what do those cows eat? And so sooner or later, it all goes back to the fact that all life depends on it. Furthermore, how long can any of us survive without any water whatsoever? So I think we know all life depends on it. The scientists, of course, say, love, I think I read in my high school science book that our bodies are 60% water or something. But anyway, all life depends on it. B, where there is rain, there is life, growth, and fruitfulness. C, where there is no rain, there is only drought and famine. Every year, just in the northern regions of Kenya alone, we used to know missionaries that did work there. This one brother would go up there, and sometimes when he came back after 2 weeks, he had to be hospitalized. And every day, as far as I know, Kirtana country, there are still people. They send trucks out every morning to pick up the bodies because that is a region of absolute drought. The Sahara Desert and those areas, they are arid. And if it wasn't for an oasis here and there, no life would be possible whatsoever. But wherever there is no rain, there is only drought and famine. And where there is rain, you see how green it gets. Have you ever noticed how the lawns come back after you get some of those spring rains? Start oiling up those lawn mowers. Number two. Second observation, rain comes down from heaven sent by God himself. You know, for all the technology we've got, they've tried dry ice, they've tried seeding, they've tried this and that, and all the wonderful things that man can do, man still can't really make rain. The Lord has reserved that unto himself. Rain comes down from heaven sent by God himself. Rain is not a thing of man. Man cannot send it. Man cannot produce it. Only God can send the rain. Number three, God sends rain in answer to the prayers of his people. And that is how we get the rain. But God has to send it. And he sends it in response to the prayers of his people. How many have read of Elijah? Now, this land was under judgment. So he prayed that it what? Wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And did it rain? It did not. God withheld the rain because the land was under judgment. But then on the very day that he prayed for rain, what happened? They had what down south we call a gully washer. And he could hardly stay ahead of it. He was trying to run and stay ahead of it. But God sends rain in answer to the prayers of his people. Application. The farmer prepares the soil and plants the seed, but only God can send the rain. You know, that farmer gets out there, and you see him with their plows. In the old days, it was behind a mule. Now it's on one of those great big things with the cabin on it, and the plows probably can do, I don't know, 20 or 30 feet across. But they got to go out there, and they got to break up that soil and plow it, and then maybe a little fertilizer. And then they put the seed in the ground. What happens if there's no rain? So the farmer does pray for rain. I don't know if you do, but the farmers pray for rain. Did you know that in our churches they used to have special prayer meetings where the people would get together and pray for rain? And I'm talking about regular rain. There's still that story circulating of the place. Now, this may have been overseas, but the whole church had come together on a Sunday afternoon or sometime like that in order to pray for rain. And somebody said, and I noticed that only one lady brought an umbrella. But yeah, the farmer prays for rain. Because what happens when there's no rain? There's a measly crop. And our farmers suffer. And in those years, they lose money. And sometimes have to go to the bank and borrow so that they can have what they need to try again next year. Oh, yeah, the farmer knows what it means to pray for rain. And he knows how important it is, and he knows that his very livelihood depends on it. And so he prays for rain. And as workers of the Lord, the same principle applies. We can preach the word, we can do whatever preparation we can, but in the end, it is when the Lord moves on that which is planted in people's hearts by His Holy Spirit, and He sends the rain of His Holy Spirit, and that is when that word begins to take root, and it begins to show signs of life, and it begins to grow. Did you know that there are people sitting in the church pews that have been under the word of the Lord since they were young, and they are now old, and they still are as hard-hearted as they were years ago, and they have not really changed? And God's word, even though they hear it week by week, still has not really changed their hardened hearts. And do you know why that is so? Because the same seed is being planted in their hearts as in anyone else that hears that word. But it is because the Holy Spirit has not come into their lives yet to awaken that word of the Lord and to cause it to give it life and to cause it to grow and to cause it to sprout. And when you see people growing in the Lord, it is because the Holy Spirit is working in their lives. It isn't just the Word. Yes, the Word is the starting point, and it is what God will use. But until the Holy Spirit waters it, it lies there dormant under the scorching sun. And when you go to the Sahara Desert or any of those deserts, there's nothing but lifelessness. And there are areas there where I hear a few raindrops might fall. There might be a little tiny shower every so many years or whatever. But however long it's been there dormant, and it looks like all life is gone. Do you know what happens on those rare occasions when there is one little shower? Do you know what it looks like the very next morning? You can already see the green shoots coming up. Because the seed was there all the time. Even in the desert right now, the seed is right there. It's just waiting for what? For some rain. Number two, seed, we've covered this just now. Seed remains unproductive in the ground until it's watered. And the actual application is, each of us should be praying for rain from heaven in our own lives and in the lives of others. Nothing will take the place of this. Jesus told his disciples just before he left, he said, I'm leaving, but I'm sending another comforter who will be with you always. I've given you this message of redemption. I've hung on that cross and you saw me. I've come back to life. Now I'm returning to the Father. But you stay in Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high. And they went back to Jerusalem, it says. And they went to that upper room and they began to what? Pray. What did they do for those 10 days between the ascension and the falling of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost? What were they doing those 10 days? They were praying. And on the 10th day, God sent the rain. And what a rain! What a rain! And Peter gets up on his little soapbox or whatever and says, folks, let me tell you what you are witnessing today. It is that which the prophet Joel prophesied when he said, God says in the last days, I'm going to pour my Spirit out on all flesh. And that was the original outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But there have been others. That's the original. But God has poured out His Spirit on whole nations as recently as in the last two centuries, on whole cities, on whole counties. And there has been mass revival at those times when that happened. And usually it was because there was some die-hard group of people, sometimes only six or eight of them, meeting regularly for prayer and basically praying for what? For rain. God, send your rain and bring it to water your word. And so, as we pray for that, God will send His Holy Spirit. Nobody can do it but Him. Where does it come from? It comes from heaven. Amos Eby can't produce it. You can't produce it. No preacher, no matter how eloquent he is, can produce it. He can only preach the word. But the Lord has to send the rain. There's an old hymn. I don't know if some of you have heard it. Brethren, we have met to worship. How many have heard such a song? Brethren, we have met to worship. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Doris Akers wrote some songs. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Do you know how that song was written? She had come to a midweek prayer meeting like we used to have, and there was just a deadness. And it's like the people there was just a coldness and a deadness. And somebody said something and said, we really need to pray, you know, for the Lord's Spirit to move among us. And they got down, and when the Spirit fell, there was a wonderful prayer time. See, the showers came. And they were there, and there were sweet expressions, and some had their hands raised and were worshiping the Lord. And He gave the words to that song. Until the Spirit came, it was nothing but deadness and nothing but hardness. No wonder someone else wrote this little chorus that you've probably heard. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Come help me. Mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. I hope that will be the prayer of each and every one of us. Shall we pray? Father, we come this morning and we ask for the rains. We ask for the rain of your Holy Spirit. We ask for you to come and so rain on us by your Holy Spirit that things will be awakened in us that have been dead or dormant for years. We pray that you will awaken us to your word. We pray that you will awaken us to your love, that you will awaken us to your power, that you will awaken us to your righteousness and your holiness and to all of these things, and that you will begin to work in us, Lord, your things, as your Holy Spirit comes and gives life to that which you have planted in us. We cannot do this, and man cannot send this. He can share the word with us, but those rains from heaven, they have to come straight from you. So, Lord, today, would you send the rain? Would you send it to each heart? Would you send it to each home? Would you send it to our church? And to each church, that we may not be alive in name only, but that we may be truly alive because you sent the rain. These things we ask humbly in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.